Let's read Matthew 11:25 to the end of this chapter. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, O Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us now take a moment for prayer that the Lord would guide us and feed us with this bread of heaven through our Savior Jesus Christ. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, here we are again around thy holy word, and again we are here with our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes and misunderstandings, some of those that we know and many that we don't. And we come to thy holy word, O Heavenly Father. Only thou hast the power and grace to make this word clear to us. And we pray, O Lord God, bless this word that thou hast declared unto us through Jesus Christ, and in him manifested thy will, O Lord. Bless that word and make it clear to us that we may understand. And then, Lord, we pray for the grace to obey thy holy word. Gracious Lord Almighty God, as our Savior Lord Jesus Christ has lifted up his eyes to thee, we pray that our eyes may be lifted up to him and through him all the way to thy heavenly throne. And as we lift up our eyes of faith toward thee, O Lord, we pray that our hearts be humble, that in meekness and with understanding of our worthlessness, and trusting in thy grace and thy grace alone, we might rest in Christ and labor in his yoke. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, how often we labored in the past time. How often, O Lord, and still now, in what we are laboring with our own strength, employing our worries and fears and our doubts and misunderstandings. How often, O Heavenly Father, in the past days, and perhaps today also, we labor instead of resting in thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou help us today again to come unto him, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the sufferer and the victor, the one that died in deepest agony and is risen in glory, that we also through him, O Lord, may die to our own self. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to die to our frettings, our fears, our worries, our doubts, our mistakes, and to rise up in that newness of life in Christ, that we may not anymore labor in our own will, but that we, O Heavenly Father, follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we also may see, for so it seemed good in thy sight, O Father, that we may wholeheartedly and with all of our understanding, and with all the understanding that thou art giving, O Lord, and with all heart love that thou art outpouring through Christ into our weak and small hearts, that we may see thy will, that we may look around and see how mighty and how victorious thou art in thy patience as in thy judgment, in thy mercy as in thy justice, in thy love, O Heavenly Father, as in thy vengeance against every sin and wickedness. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray for that new life in Christ, that through him and in him we may walk and see that all things thou hast given unto us through him, and that all that is thine for us is ours also, if we but walk in Christ Jesus. O gracious Lord, we pray that thou make us in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our very being, O Lord, make us as the babes in the arms of the Savior. Lord, we pray today that none of us be left out, that none of us would be laboring with our own strength, but that every soul may find that rest in Christ and enjoy and rejoice in pulling in that gentle yoke. And as we bear that burden that is easy, that our soul may be at ease in thy grace and our body used and used and used up in laboring under that burden. O gracious Lord, we pray for that kingdom of thine, for that day of grace that is now, for the day of salvation that is today, that we be true Christ's disciples. O Heavenly Father, we have nothing to offer to buy that treasure. We pray for the grace to trust in thy grace. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the faith to receive that faith. We pray, O Lord God Almighty, for love and charity to receive thee and to know that thou hast received us in Christ. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray for that faith, love, and hope that will keep us continually in expectation of that glorious day of thine, that will keep us busy in the awareness of that great fire that will cover this earth at the moment of thy coming, that we may with godly concern and in patient and tender love, the love of our Lord and Savior, extend our hands and open our hearts to those that seek thee and to those that thou art seeking out of the world. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, bless that burden of thine and bless thy children. Bless us, O Father, that thy burden may be easy to us, that we may love it, that we may appreciate it. And bless thy yoke, O Father, and make us meek and humble, and make us patient and kind, and give us that deep, high and wide, clear spiritual understanding that it is the highest honor we can receive to humble ourselves under that mighty arm that created the world and that gentle hand that was pierced on the cross, so that we be thankful, grateful, feeling the touch of that hand guiding us into the yoke that is gentle, the yoke and burden that is easy, O Lord, in Christ Jesus. For that is thy good pleasure, thy honor, and thy glory. Amen. A wonderful and amazing thing, how the understanding of the gospel writers blends with the words of the Lord, because they were led by the Spirit of Christ. Very simple, no surprise. And nevertheless, very wonderful. Matthew is recording here for us, or has recorded here for us, at that time Jesus answered and said, I didn't read any question immediately before these words. Whom did he answer to? When the Lord said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, woe unto you, religious people that do not know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let alone obedience to the word of the Father. The cities of the Gentiles will not be judged as severely as the people that heard the gospel, even argued about the gospel, and yet never received it, or claimed that they did receive it and did not abide in the grace of God. When the Lord said something like that, that Sodom, a city that with its corruption and wickedness, violent corruption and wickedness, is going to be judged less severely than the congregations and fellowships of those that knew the gospel of the Lord in their education and never knew it in their hearts. When the Lord was talking that, there were many questions in the mind of the people. And the Lord is answering to those questions. The Lord is giving an answer to many questions that we might have in our mind and our heart. And this is the answer. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. The Lord said also before, If you do not turn back and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here we might have additional information received through these words, some additional understanding. Who are the children? Who are the babes? Who are those that are in the arms of the Savior, in His hands, led by Him, taught by Him, ruled by Him? Not those that learn the gospel as a law, but learning the gospel, they have learned and they are still learning the will of the Father, the teaching, the guidance of Christ Jesus and His Spirit, and they just follow as He's guiding. Now it's obvious that the Father will never ask us to do anything that is contrary to His word. He's not going to write one teaching or some words on the pages of the Holy Scripture and another words and another teaching contrary to the first one in our hearts and in our minds. It just doesn't work. He also said, the words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit and the truth. And here the Lord says, I thank thee, O Father, of a Lord of heaven and earth. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is presenting the Father, or addressing the Father as the Father is, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Almighty God. And all our questions find answers in Him. Without His will, nothing can happen. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Imagine what would have happened if the Lord would allow human wisdom and prudency to enter into His kingdom. His kingdom would not be His kingdom. It would be anarchy, rebellion, chaos. But the Father has revealed His word to Christ, to those that are like babes. What do we do when we are like babes? How can we know that we are like babes? King David said, my soul is like a child on the breast of his mother. So is my soul in the arms of God. How can we know if we are in the arms of the Savior like babes? Well, we cry unto the Lord, don't we? There are so many things that we cannot do. So many things to be done. And we know it is the Father's will that these things be done. We cry unto the Lord, and we do only what we can. And even a helpless child, just newborn child, that is not able to do much with his or her little hand and feet, still has that voice. And with that voice is seeking the caretaker, the mother. And even that tiny newborn child has the strength to receive food that our Creator has provided for. And that is one very important thing for us. We are like babes when we receive the Word of God without questioning the Father, why this, why that, why me, why not him? Or, in some cases, why not them and not us? No questions of doubting the Father's wisdom, goodwill, and might. Father, the Lord, Father, loving Father, the Lord, Almighty Lord of heaven and earth. And that takes everything. Nothing is left out. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Not very long ago, I read a commentary on this passage. And I wondered what these people will have to say, because I noticed that they have high education and not very deep insight in the Word of God. It's so sad that it often goes together, one with the other. Not that good education cannot be used. I think it's a blessing, it's a gift to have extensive education if it is received in meekness and applied in faithfulness. But as I was reading that commentary, I just could not find what I was looking for, I guess. I did not even know what I was looking for, but I felt that something is there that should be understood. For so it seemed good in thy sight. But then as I was, after the first, slightly disappointed, as I proceeded on to read that commentary, one of the commentators said, none of us can answer, and I agree that I cannot answer, the question, why would God use Peter a fisherman from Galilee to be so outstanding and so greatly used apostle, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't use Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea for the same purpose. They also were disciples of the Lord. And we, at least, we don't find Nicodemus denying the Lord three times as Peter did. Perhaps because Nicodemus came by night so nobody could see him, and Peter was there exposed to the opposition. But then we find Nicodemus questioning the correctness of the action and direction of the Sanhedrin, the congregation, the ruling body, religious ruling body of the Jews, or in Jerusalem, at least. And Nicodemus opened his mouth and he said, "Does our law judge anyone before an exhaustive interrogation?" This is my paraphrasing of what he said. And he was quickly put to silence by the other voices, by the opposition. And then later on, when the disciples were far away, Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph asked for the permission to take the body off the cross, and together Nicodemus and Joseph buried the body. You know what? They became some of the most important witnesses that the body of Christ was laid down into the tomb, a very important fact in the teaching of the gospel. And yet, the Lord has, the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, has chosen Peter, and not only Peter, an enemy of the gospel, a persecutor of God's people, Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord turned Saul into Paul, a babe in Christ. And when Ananias, a faithful brother, a Christian from Damascus, came to Saul, he said to Saul, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared unto thee as thou wast coming to Damascus, sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with his spirit." And immediately Saul of Tarsus received his sight. He is becoming Paul, the disciple and the apostle of Christ now, and he knows exactly what should be done. Now he should be baptized, he should confirm, he should make confession, he should receive, embrace that grace and that forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is lingering. Not that he would reject any of that, but he does not know how to receive that he is so unworthy of. And Ananias said, "Brother Saul, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Be baptized. Receive everything that the Lord has given unto you." And Saul did. Oh, it's so good. It's such a blessed, wonderful miracle to become a babe in Christ. To become a small child aware of our helplessness and to rely on the loving arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, to rely on the mighty arms of the Almighty God. It was good in our Father's sight. I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching and teaching. He was teaching us even before he came to appear on this earth in flesh. Ever since the beginning he is teaching. When he met our parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, he was teaching. He could have hid that from us. He didn't have to reveal that to us. But it was the Father's will. And the Father's will is always the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They never do anything contrary to one another. That's a perfect unity. Such a beautiful harmony. And we are invited. And that is available to us. As a matter of fact, it's wide open to us. And let's confess it. So often we are pushed into that because we hesitate. So the Lord Jesus Christ is looking into all of that and teaching us that we also should be thankful to our Heavenly Father, and that we should regard Him and know Him as the Lord of heaven and earth, and everything that He is doing, that we accept, that we receive that as babes. To know that our Father knows everything, and nothing escaped His attention, and nothing is neglected and forgotten, good or evil. Everything goes exactly as it has to, and the Father is in control of everything. Why didn't he prevent so much evil? That evil is allowed to progress until the moment and the limits in time and that the Father has appointed. So far it will flood and no further. So the Father has sealed the minds of his children, and the destruction that is coming upon this earth is not going to affect them. Our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us to see that the prudence and wisdom of the world is worthless, not only worthless, so often an obstacle in our coming to the Lord, in our uniting our heart and mind with the heart and mind of the Son of God. And that this revelation has been revealed unto the babes in Christ. Blessed are those that are meek, for they shall inherit the land. Even so, Father, as if the Lord Jesus would say, yes, Father, such a wonderful thing that thou hast done, because it was good in thy sight, it is good in our Father's sight. And as the Lord Jesus is looking up to the Father with such confidence, with such trust and such agreement and wholehearted support of what the Father is doing, the Lord Jesus turns to us and he shows us the abundance that he has in the Father. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. None of the people, not a single person in all of the humanity can know anything about the Father. Nobody can know the Father in any degree, any amount of knowledge, if the Son will not reveal the Father to us. Now, someone might ask a question, well, what about before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I think it's the prophecy of Isaiah that says, for unto us a child is born, the Son is given. You see, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul the Apostle is teaching us by the Spirit of the Lord that this Melchizedek has no beginning and no end, and is compared with or to the Son of God. He is the priest of the Most High God, to whom Abraham gave one-tenth or tithing, and an acknowledgement that all the blessings and all goods come from God. And our Lord Jesus Christ told to the Hebrews, before Abraham was, I am. So I think these few references should be more than sufficient to confirm our understanding that our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord forever. No beginning, no end. Eternal God, the mighty Son of the Almighty God. And so, ever since the beginning, even Adam and Eve did not know the Father other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the end, among all that will know the Father as the Father, there will be not a single one that knew the Father in any other way. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed the Father. But the Lord Jesus Christ is revealing the Father through his words, through his living daily walk, his manners, his battle, his suffering, his unaltered obedience, submission to the will of the Father, willful, even joyful, cheerful obedience to the Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is revealing the Father to us. And our duty is to receive that revelation, to absorb it, to be filled with it, and then to reveal to the world around us and to one another, our Lord Jesus Christ, by daily walk, by our words, by our desires, by our goals, our direction, our manners, by our thoughts, our thinking, our feelings, our affections. Whenever we are not doing that, we are surely doing the opposite. If I'm not patient in Christ, I am stealing something away from Him. I'm taking some of the energy that he has given me to be impatient, to be nervous, to be angry, to be anything but what he wanted me to do. But that's only one way. There are other ways. When the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, haste, this is the direction I appointed for you. For example, in the days of Lot, the last hours of Sodom and the other cities that were destroyed, the Lord says, you see that hill there? Run up to that hill and do not stop, do not turn back. Two commandments, three commandments. That's all they have to do. And be delivered, be saved. Did they do it? No. When the Lord says haste and we drag our feet, we are helping somebody else. The enemy that is coming from behind and he's going to grab us. Why? Because we drag our feet. If we did what the Lord told us and we hasted to that hill, we would be far away, not only from the flames and smokes of Sodom and Gomorrah and their destruction, but also from that small city, what was the name, Zoar, where Lot desired to find refuge for a short time, but he didn't find peace. He was in fear there. Only wholehearted obedience, full submission, glad, loving compliance with the word of God gives real peace to our hearts. But what if the Lord is telling me something to do and I don't feel peace? I feel restless about that. What does that mean? I'm still in Sodom. I'm turning back to Gomorrah. I'm looking back. I don't want to look back. And then again, as the little babes to whom the will of the Father is revealed, we cry to our Heavenly Father and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there was a song that we sang this morning. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine both. That's how I would understand that. His one hand in my both hands. Just to have that assurance in my heart that I am following the Lord, that I am not having a divided heart, a doubting mind. This abundance that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had from His Father or with or in His Father is available to us. It is open to us. We are invited to receive it. Remember? In the story of the prodigal son, when the older son is protesting to the father, I served thee for so many years, I never transgressed thy commandments, and thou hast not given me a kid of the goat. What did the father answer to this son? He said, my son, you serve me, all that I have is thine. My son, you never transgressed my commandment. Then you should rejoice. Your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. So all that is Father's is ours if we are in Christ. I know that there are quite a few theological questions about, well, if I know some sin, am I in Christ? I mean, some sin of mine, am I in Christ or not? Am I born and died, born again and again and again? Well, let's leave the questions and let's take the answer from the Father and through the Son. If we are in Christ, we are saved. Forever saved, yes. Forever in Christ, forever saved. Forever in sin, forever lost. Without thinking that we are very wise, without teaching the Father, without pretending to be prudent in this world, let us be babes in Christ. Trust and obey. There is no other way. We can know the Father only through Christ Jesus. And the more we dwell in Christ, and the more Christ is dwelling in us, the more we know the Father. And the more cheerfully and joyfully we can say, even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. We thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Thou hast revealed this wonderful truth to babes. And we have no reason to be embarrassed or ashamed before this shameless, sinful environment around us. Yes, we are weak. We are imperfect. We trust in the Lord and grace of our Heavenly Father. We trust in the merit and grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We trust in the guidance of the Spirit that is using mightily His holy words. And we are weak. We are imperfect. We have many shortcomings, but we are willing to obey. We want to obey. Our will is His will. And we are not willing to harbor resentment and resistance to His will. I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the human wisdom, and Thou hast given Thy wisdom in Christ unto babes, so that we may grow in the nourishment of Christ Jesus our Lord. All things are delivered unto us through Christ from our Heavenly Father. But we know our Lord Jesus Christ only because the Father has drawn us to Him. No one can come to Christ unless the Father will draw him. Now, are we going to go out into the world and meet a sinner, and that sinner is reveling in sin, and we say, you cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ unless the Father will draw you? No, that's not necessarily the first message. That is higher schooling and education in the Word of God. The first message is in the beginning. Repent and believe the gospel. All your joys in the world are very short, just as the suffering of the faithful is short. And your joys in the world are not without suffering, and you never know how soon you will leave everything. We remember, oh, how everybody remembers. That's a very well-known story, and I myself mentioned that rather frequently. There was a man that was laboring hard. It was very important for him to have his friends around him, to have his tables filled with abundant food, to rejoice, to celebrate living, to enjoy the blessings that God has given him. But he never knew the Father. He never turned to the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Where was the Lord Jesus at that time? As that massive story, I mean story that has been taking place all over this earth, all over humanity. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ at that moment? Where was the teacher, the preacher, the witness for Jesus Christ? Very close, very close. Not very far from the gate of this rich man, there was that Lazarus, the beggar, dying in starvation, dying in sickness, forgotten, neglected, despised, rejected. But Christ was there. Very soon, everything was over. Very soon. Even if a man would live over 100 years today, these days, all of that is very short. So far, I lived only 58 years. It's just like a few days. And soon, Lazarus is in that rest. The rest that he received here through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is now in that rest. What is the difference? The rest is much more abundant and the suffering is over. What is the difference for the man that did not know the Father? Well, he's suffering in flames. His soul suffered in this life, but he didn't pay attention to that. He enjoyed as much as he thought he could have enjoyed in his flesh. Now that is over, and the suffering of his soul is much greater. That's quite a difference. It's a great, enormous difference. The Lord is saying here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As I mentioned, the rich man labored in his own way. And oh, how his soul was laden, heavy laden. Perhaps he was not aware of that. Perhaps he was, but did not want to know. Perhaps that's why he needed to have a feast every day, that he could forget the longing of his soul and the suffering of his soul. Could be. But the Lord says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. If anyone would come to the Lord, which is an impossibility in this case, but just think about that. If anyone would come unto the Lord and say, Lord, I really did not labor. I'm not among those that labor. And I'm not heavy laden at all. Maybe a little bit, but not very much. But anyway, give me that rest anyway. No, it doesn't work that way. Who does not realize how vain and how enormous is our labor outside of Christ, is not ready to receive the rest in Christ. We must know the difference. If we don't know the difference, it will be similar to the seed that fell on the rocky ground for a short time, rejoiced in Christ. As soon as there is something to suffer, something to endure, turn back. So the Lord is calling all. This is all of the humanity is right here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If we are outside of Christ, if we are not in His grace, if we are not in the obedience through Christ, through the Heavenly Father, we cannot have rest, and we are heavy laden, loaded with our what? Idolatry, false religion, presumptuous rejection of the word of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We see here, beloved, how joyful is the Son in the Father. How much adoration and admiration, admiring of the Father is in the heart and mind of the Son. So much we should admire, so much we should adore our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. Come unto me, all ye that labor. These are the words filled with love and godly concern. This invitation is to all of the human beings, and how few there be that hear that and that find that. I will give you rest. And right away he says, what kind of a rest is that? It's not sleeping. It's not slumbering. It's not aimlessness, idleness. No, that rest is labor. The next verse is telling us the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, take my yoke upon you. What is the difference between the heavy labor and heavy load that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to give up, to forsake, and the easy yoke and the light burden that he wants to place upon our shoulders? What is the difference? Because my parents were believers, and because in their understanding, attending and watching sport games in the world was sinful or vanity, I did not learn much about sports and sport games. But as little as I did, without their approval, I was amazed as a lad when I saw, I think it was not in actual games, but a television program, I saw a man, and few men actually, running for those so-called Olympic games. Oh, in this case, they even took a godless or gentle name for the games. So let's say there is a little bit more honesty in that, but that's not exactly the focus at the moment. I saw the runners running, and they're running in my, as far as I could see, with all of their strength. They're running as if in their mind there is nothing else but that one idea. First on the goal. And they're running and running and running, and finally one of them broke the thread or string that was at the goal, and he got in and he collapsed. And the helpers there, the directors, the whoever has appointed who is going to do what, I don't know much about that. Two other men quickly ran over there and they lifted him up, and the focus of the camera is right on his face. He looked like a dying man. Such a hard breathing. He's gasping for air, and his eyes are closed, and his cheeks are sunken in, and he's totally without power. It was an awful picture, a terrible picture. You know, he did that for that corruptible gain, for that reward, for that trophy, for the fame in this world. Of course they labor, and of course they are heavy laden, but so are we if we are not resting in Christ. None of the humanity is laboring as much as the people that read the Word of God, that claim to know God, and yet they are not in Christ. As long as we have our own will, as long as we have, according to the old prophecy, as long as we are eating our own bread and wearing our own raiment, and we just want to have the name of Christ, that's fornication, that's immorality, that's idolatry. We must be clothed in His garment. I am naked before God. Only the righteousness and the holiness, the purity of the Lamb of God can cover me. And I have no other food but the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the mighty Savior, the risen Lord. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I mentioned that story, how much that man is laboring, or was laboring, that man running in the race to be the first, and apparently he was the first. He was running to the limit of his strength. My impression was over the limit. As soon as he burst through that gate, and as soon as he realized, or I hope he realized, that he is the winner, nobody else was ahead of him, the others were right behind him, the second one was just a couple steps behind, and as soon as this man reached the goal, he collapsed. Would he ever labor as much in his factory, on his field, or somewhere else, for his own living, for his family, or his children, if he had any, or his
aging parents? No, he would go on strike. You see the difference between the yoke that is easy and the yoke that is hard? I wonder if we ever, if anyone here had an opportunity to see how a young bull or ox is trained to pull in a yoke. They would put that young animal with an experienced animal, an animal that is used to the yoke and is obedient to the direction of the man that is controlling the yoke and the animals. And this young and strong young animal is together with the old experienced animal. And when the owner will give the signal to go, the old experienced animal will just slowly pull and go on. But the young one and strong one and not used to the yoke will pull back. Well, as soon as he pulls back, the cart will hit him from the back. And the owner will hit him with a rod. And then the young bull will rush forward, but the old bull is just slowly walking at the same pace. And so this young and strong animal will pull back and forward and so on. And pretty soon he's perspiring, he's exhausted, and that's how he gets broken. Come unto me, all ye that labor. And that old animal that perhaps doesn't have as much strength, but has the necessary training to be obedient, to pull in that yoke easy. It's just normal. Ready for the next meal or next drink of water, but not extremely tired nor exhausted. That animal did what the master commanded. How is the yoke of Christ easy? When we love it, when we want it, when we see the purpose of that, when we see the goal. Oh, that we could see that goal. The glory and the majesty of the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth. If we could see the glory of the Son on the right hand side of the power and on the throne on high. If we could see the power and the victory of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus from Bethlehem to the River Jordan. From the River Jordan to the desert. And from the desert to Jerusalem and all the other cities. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. All over the land of Judea and Galilee, and even some parts of Samaria. If we could see our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the palace of the high priest, in the palace of Herod, in the judgment hall before Pilate, and then in his walk to Golgotha. If we could see him on the cross, in all of that, if we could see what John, the evangelist, the disciple of the Lord, John the apostle, saw. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God is that Word. If we could see what John has seen in the Revelation, glorious Son of God, the Almighty Son of God. And John said, I just fell down before him as dead, but he touched me again and gave that courage and that strength to see the glory of God and to rejoice in that, to see how awesome that is. If we could see it, oh, how easy that yoke would be, and his burden would be so light. So light. Without his will, nothing can be done. May his will be continually that our will may disappear and his will become ours. Just as in that model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, not any other name, including mine. Thy name, O Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yes. May his will be done. Amen.